Welcome to Just a Bit Gaming Podcast. My name is Ryan Chumpy Crash Reynolds, and this is my partner, Adrian Bertazoy Townsend.
Whoop!
You are with us on Friday, July 21st, and we're bringing you all the information that is true all the time, at least half the time.
Yes. To us.
Yeah. Or would it be true half the time, all the time?
Either way, does one make you a pessimist and one make you an optimist?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know which would be which in that situation.
Half true all the time, or totally true half the time.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to preface by saying this is going to be a short show, but
It's going to be. It's got to be a short show.
Yeah. We're recording at my house for one. Because my wife has somewhere to go tonight, and I have to watch the kids.
Yeah, we're not using a thrift store green screen with somebody's byproducts still in the fibers. Tonight, we are using Adrian's personal entertainment museum. I mean, seriously, from this wall all the way across and around to this wall, 90% of the walls in this room are covered in video games and comic books and...
And my wife hates it.
Movie memorabilia.
Because this is not a spare room. This is my bedroom.
Yeah, this is what she has to go to sleep looking at every night.
Yes.
You know, whenever she lays down, she's like, fucking Super Nintendo, fucking Amiibos.
Why do you have to buy another one?
That being said, you have a startling number of Amiibos.
I'm going to go pick up some more Amiibo tonight or tomorrow, too. The Cloud Amiibo just came out.
What... This is probably totally, like, behind the curve and ignorant of me. Are Amiibos still a thing?
Yeah. They're not as big a thing as they used to be.
Are they just a little toy? Is that all it is?
Yeah, you can use it within the games, but I don't. I leave them in the boxes and use them as wall decorations.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, obviously.
For real, he's got, like, a fucking lot of Amiibos.
I probably have, I don't know, 50, 60. Too many, for sure, but... It started... I'll tell you how that started, okay? I bought them when they first came out because they were hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
And I was going to be that dude, you know, who buys them and sells them to make a little bit of a profit. Well, I bought them, and I thought they were cool as hell. And I decided not to sell them and keep them. And
that's what
I did sell
with,
a few.
With bottles of liquor.
Yeah. Well, yes. There is a few, though, that I did sell. Like at the time, I bought a Wii Fit Trainer from Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And I bought one other one. I can't remember which one it was. I want to say it was, like, a villager. But they were going for, like, $100 and $150 at the time. I was like, I don't really care about these Amiibo that much. $150, that's another game.
You always care about $150.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did sell quite a few Amiibo, but I also kept quite a few.
Is Amiibo the plural of Amiibo?
Yeah.
Or is it Amiibos?
I say Amiibo.
Amiibo!
No, I like Amiibo. And I think most people in the Amiibo community say Amiibo.
There's an Amiibo community.
Yes. There is a Reddit for Amiibo that I used to frequent. I don't anymore, but...
I mean, I've been on
when
some
I was deep into
Reddits.
It, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Deep in the Reddit.
I was deep in the Reddit. There's a game collecting Reddit.
Amiibos
like
deep.
Yes.
That joke could have been better.
It's good.
Shit was lazy.
But it went from like a way to make a quick buck to kind of an obsession.
Yeah.
And which is still carrying on. Like today I'm picking up Cloud, which I had reserved, and Bayonetta.
Oh, cool.
They just both came out today, so...
I've
been so psyched for a Cloud Amiibo.
We should have done this in your kitchen, because I'm having a hard time even concentrating sitting in here. I'm like a kitten in a box full of butterflies.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
I love my room.
That I'm a kitten in a box full of butterflies?
Yes. I fully intend to one day have a room dedicated to this stuff. But
you do?
Yeah, it'll probably
Amy
be...
Amy just borrows it.
She does. She sleeps in here and, you know, that's her side of the room. You can't see it, but there's nothing there.
Two small mirrors and a cross.
That's it.
And you're like, geez, Amy, what's with all the Pottery Barn?
I even have, like, stuffed animals up on top of her dresser, man.
Yeah, that's Sonic. That's pretty rad.
What do you like, that Rainbow Bright?
Rainbow Bright. She always kind of freaked me out a little.
I don't even know how I ended up with that.
Those are all thrift store phones. One ever knows how they ended up with Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
She just shows up.
I like it, though. I never had a Rainbow Bright, but that speaks 80s to me. So I had to have it.
Yeah. The Sonic, though. That's the prize up there.
That's a legit 1993 Sonic the Hedgehog.
When I was a kid, when I was, like, little, like, elementary school, in our house, we had the original NES system.
Mm-hmm. And you mean that one right there?
Yeah, that's the one. Actually, Adrian has the NES that I played on when I was a child, sitting on one of his shelves in here.
Yeah, Ryan was gracious enough to give me that for my birthday.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. That's still one of my prized possessions, because it's all in box. You guys kept it in pristine condition. I'm, like, super shocked by that.
Yeah.
And that you have it in the box and, you know, the controllers and everything. It's cool. So I have it sitting up there for more decoration, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know my parents still had it, and it was in their garage. Like, it was in a box within a box, like, surrounded by things. And I was like, this is fucking
cool.
This is old as hell. And I got it out, and it was still, like, clean and shit. And I was like, hey, Dad, what are you going to do with this? And he's like, I put it in a box. And I was like, I'm going to give this to my buddy Adrian. He's like,
Okay, sure.
that rang as permission to me.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, you told me you had this. And I was like, I went over to your house one day. I was like, show me this thing. I want to see it. This is before you gave it to me, before I even thought that you might give it to me. We went outside, and we were outside chatting on the porch. And Ryan has this box. It's like a storage box that you can also sit on, I assume.
It's a bench. It was actually in our living room initially.
Oh, okay.
But one of my dogs puked on it, and we couldn't get the smell out, so we put it on the back patio.
So that makes it even better.
Yeah.
So we go out there to the porch. He says, "Oh, it's right here." Opens up the thing, and the boxed NES is sitting inside this thing. I was like, "Dude, no, no."
He goes, "Put that like in your laundry room or
what
some shit."
What are you doing? You have it outside on the patio where it gets wet, and, you know, you got the heat and the cold and everything else happening to this thing that is very, very cool to me. And so, yeah, I was like, take this right now and put it in the house somewhere. So he did.
Granted, when Adrian called me out for it, it had only been outside for like 36 hours.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that.
It had just been. Well, I was ashamed. Mm. What can you say when you've already been so thoroughly chastised?
was it that harsh
for your misbehaviors,
your mistreatment of
of the vintage gear? Yeah, it's a relic.
It is in my eyes. It is anyway.
Which brings me back to my talk about Sonic.
Oh yeah,
I knew nothing about Sonic because I only knew Nintendo, and then discovered the Sonic the Hedgehog comic books.
Oh yeah,
when I was 8 years old. And picked one up, and that's also where I started drawing. That's where my illustrations started.
Sonic is a fun one to draw.
Was drawing pictures of Sonic.
Yeah.
And I collected every issue of Sonic the Hedgehog from probably like August of 97 or 98 to like 2013.
Damn.
I mean, it was for real. It was a thing.
Played a Sonic game? Or were you just into the character and the...
I was into the comics. I was into the character. And, I mean, like, when I was a kid and I was, like, at least even, like, mildly athletic.
Yeah.
Like, running was my sport, track.
Oh, okay.
And so Sonic was, like, always resonated, you know?
He's a role model for running.
Yeah. And, you know, he was a beacon of justice and hope and smart-assery with his snarkiness.
With the Jaleel White...
Yeah,
racing
dude.
Him?
Yeah, I had a VHS tape of him called like Slow Going or something, and it had these sloths that were his friends.
Oh no,
that is
the worst episode.
That's the only one I had, and I would watch that shit over and over.
No, okay, that is one that I specifically remember because I remember how bad it was.
And they slowed Sonic down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Like, I can't even remember. It was like, was it how they talked? They were just extremely...
Yeah, they talked like
yeah
that.
No.
Like, you know those G.I. Joe overdubs?
Yes! Those are hilarious,
pork chop sandwiches! You didn't want to go into that. You know, if we had the technology, we should cut to one of those videos. Do we have that technology?
We do. I will do that.
Cool.
I guess they're old enough. They're old enough now that a lot of people probably wouldn't know about them.
Right? Maybe we'll be responsible for the resurgence.
Oh, those are so funny!
So funny,
dude. I was.
Anybody want a body massage?
What's funny about that is, I like a couple weeks ago was talking about that with my wife, and we had all the kids in bed, and I was like, "They have to see this." Popped it open, started playing the pork chop sandwiches, and Caroline, my oldest, was in here. She thought it was the funniest thing. It is. It's just so off the wall, crazy, funny.
Pork chop sandwiches. Everybody get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Go. What are you doing? Get the fuck out.
All right. We got to cut to it.
I will do it.
I almost paused as though I was going to like play the video in my head. We got to cut to it.
Yeah, those are funny.
So, what's new?
You know, there's... not a whole lot with me. I mean, I haven't played anything new. About the only thing I did new is I got an Elgato capture card.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
So my intention
with that...
for
those of you that are listening, Elgato is Spanish for the gato.
That's right. What is gato?
That's cat, right?
I don't know. I don't know Spanish.
Elgato is...
The
cat.
Okay. So I got one of those cats... The cats. And
the cat. Streaming. It sounds better as Elgato. You gotta say it with the inflection though.
Elgato.
Elgato.
Elgato. Mr. Roboto.
Yo tengo el gato.
So I got this thing with the intention of streaming some of my console games. Because Brody and I were streaming a lot, and we were using emulators. I was just playing the games that I had off of my computer, and I was like, you know, I want to get the more authentic feel and play my consoles and my games. I mean, I have them, so I might as well play them. And so yeah, I got a capture card, been testing it out, works great, ready to go with it. Hopefully be streaming pretty soon some retro games. And actually that's really it. I haven't played anything new. Still keeping on the VR, still keeping on the Switch, still keeping on, you know, the things I talked about last time. But what have you been up to?
I've had a big week.
Yeah?
With and honestly, what is this, episode 4?
Yes.
I feel like the past 3 episodes I've been like, fucking Bethesda Pinball.
Yeah. Are you done with it yet?
Borderlands, Horizon. I haven't beat any of those games yet. I actually haven't played the pinball in like, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Are you finally getting over that phase?
It slowed down a little.
Yeah.
It did. And then I haven't played much Borderlands or Horizon in a couple weeks.
Oh! I did play the Destiny 2 beta. We can talk about that after you finish.
Okay. I intend to download that and try to play
try it
for a couple
it.
Days.
It's fun. It's really fun.
But you just said VR.
Yes.
I tried VR today in Adrian's living room.
Yeah.
And his kids were like, shark, shark. And I was like, what's a shark? Well, not what's a shark. I know what a shark is.
Right.
They play pool and steal people's money.
That's not what
I gotta stop making
about.
Jokes tonight. They're not landing. So, what was it that I played?
Rush of Blood.
Rush of Blood. It's a first-person shooter, and I played a level called Hotel Hell. Is that what it's called?
I didn't catch the name of the level. It's like a poltergeist level?
Yeah, it's, you know, you're on a little, like, roller coaster with guns. You have the guns, the roller coaster doesn't. And there's, like, angry birds. Like, birds that are angry, not angry birds like the cartoons.
Could you imagine if they threw angry birds, actual angry birds? That would be fun.
I'm having to throw in a lot of didaction into this.
Somebody mod that. Make that happen.
Somebody make an Angry Birds Rush of Blood.
Yes.
Level. Please.
With Sonic the Hedgehog being cut in half.
Yeah. That might trigger me a little.
It's funny you say that because this game, I was expecting more of a reaction out of you. Because this is a scary game. This is
jump scares.
Yes, it's all full of jump scares. There's some kind of disturbing imagery and stuff in it, but it's all about I'm gonna throw a zombie or a ghost in your face and jump scare you.
Yeah.
But Ryan didn't jump like at all.
Nerves of steel, homie.
Apparently.
Actually, the one time I jumped wasn't even because of the game. It was because the VR headsets are, you've got it over your eyes and over your head, and then you got your headphones, and so you're like, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like whenever the roller coaster, you know, went up, and it was like, here comes the rush of blood, and then it dropped me down, I kind of felt it, you know?
Yeah.
If you would have turned on a box fan in my face at that moment, I might have shit a little.
It's cool.
Right. So, the only time I jumped, though, was I was sitting in a dark room listening to this sobbing and his dog put her head in my lap. And yeah, I thought my butt was going to fall off just a little. that was the one jump I had, was when the corgi touched me so affectionately.
The atmosphere was at least able to get to you. The jump scares didn't get to you, but the atmosphere made it get to you a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, were you scared? You didn't seem like it was scary to you. You were just like, yeah, this is a thing. I don't care about it.
I mean, but it was cool. It was very cool, very immersive, and I could almost feel like the physical momentum of what was happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Once you really get in it and you start like the physicality starts to set in of like moving with it and aiming and dodging and ducking and looking around. I mean, like once all that kind of triggers in, it's really cool and it's really immersive, but it's like I said either on the last show, or last episode, or the one before it, scary games and scary movies, I don't have the right mechanism in my brain to get immersed enough to actually get like spooked and startled by them.
I really thought that VR might be the way to
might be the
get
trick.
You. Yeah, but it wasn't.
I wish it would have been. Yeah. I don't key into those things.
So ultimately though, what's your impression of VR?
Okay, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It is really cool. Playing a game, I don't know how long was I playing, like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
It's intense. It's almost labor intensive. Like, it's kind of tiring, you know?
Yeah.
To get in there and be a part of it, and it's really cool. And I would love to have, like, a... I've heard good things about like Spider-Man VR. I think I'd be like crazy into that, especially with the way you can feel the movement and the momentum. And I just feel like swinging through New York City.
Oh yeah.
I could get off on that.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Well, they had a Spider-Man demo, but you didn't get to do any of that cool stuff.
See, that's garbage. Why even put it out then? Who gives a shit if you're not going to swing
it around? It was a shitty demo.
That is 100% what everybody wants out of that.
Yeah.
Like, why even put it out? Just send us all a picture of what we're not fucking doing.
Yeah.
Here, have fun looking at this, or not.
Yeah. Or just sit here and shoot your web. That's all it was. It was a shooting game where you're shooting your web out at things.
Garbage.
Yeah, it was suck.
That is hot garbage.
Yeah. I thought for sure we were in the top. We were on top of a building. I thought for sure we were going to go like, in between them.
I'm about to jump off this bitch.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. Do you remember on N64 there was a game called Pilot Wings?
Yeah.
You remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
And you could like do the jetpack or like the little whirly shit or a hang glider.
Yeah.
And it was just
parachute.
It was just like an open level of a game where you just kind of zipped around.
Yeah.
Did whatever you wanted. There was like a carnival level. I remember that one specifically, in a countryside. And there weren't like a whole lot of objectives. You just kind of flew around.
Yeah.
And with the scale at which they can make video games now, and that they can make these environments, I would like to mess with VR with like a jetpack simulator. You know, just stick me in a big ass city, or you know, anywhere on an island or whatever, somewhere with some big buildings and some shit I can interact with, and just let me zip around on a hovercraft or a jetpack or like, you know, I bet if they wanted to bring back like the Harry Potter video game, like if they made like a Quidditch game for VR, that would be the jam. I know you're not really into Harry Potter, but
just flying in general.
Flying
cool.
In general, anything that I can fly on that thing,
yeah.
I'd be about it.
There is a game where you are a bird and you're flying.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I haven't played it. I do need to check that out. You're right. I don't think I've really experienced a flying simulation.
I just think the kinetic energy, like, just that, I guess kinetic is the right word. You know, yeah. You feel it. And I feel like given the right situation and the right mindset and the right simulator, you could really have a good time just fucking with something like that.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be a thing. It doesn't have to be like a game. It doesn't have to be an objective or a course or linear. Just give us a giant sandbox with a seemingly endless roof, you know, and go crazy.
You're into the sandbox game, so it...
Always have been.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I like I like the freedom of them.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see something like that. It still seems like they're kind of in their infancy as far as games are concerned. I haven't seen a whole lot of variety in the gameplay.
I mean, most VR games that are out right now are just a couple of hands in front of you and you...
Mm-hmm.
You
shoot stuff.
Yeah, you react appropriately to your scenario.
Yeah.
Now, I will go back and still, my point that I made last time stands about VR. I think that their greatest asset and their greatest stake in the future of entertainment is as the next big visual art form.
Creativity.
I think that is the biggest thing VR has going for it. Still, hands down. I've played it, and it was fun. I still think that the art angle is the biggest.
So I guess that thing since has. You hadn't tried VR before, but you have now, could you get a feel for creating art inside that kind of VR world?
I guess. I want to so bad now.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about whenever I was riding that spooky little roller coaster. It was like, I turned to look behind me to see if the environment was disappearing behind me, which it does.
Yes,
but you could still see, like, this deep range of vision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the environment had disappeared, but you could still see what looked like into the darkness with, like, specks of dust, like, glinting off the flashlight and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to, like, this game is fun, but I just want to kind of switch gears and step out of this game and just go into that dark box and start, like, drawing shit around me. That was my thought there, was, like, I just...
Or just simply explore.
Yeah.
You know? Just... Like, freeze frame, let's walk around and look at stuff. That's, I think, right now, for me, the coolest part of VR... It's just looking at things like...
Right, because you can be going this way, and you've got a wall here,
mm-hmm.
and then you get out ahead of it and look and realize that even though the game is never going to have anything to do with this room back here, they went ahead and built an entire room.
Yeah.
Or a hallway with rooms, or a window with an entire landscape outside. They went ahead and built that shit, and it adds to the immersiveness of it. Yeah. I was half expecting to, like... When I got on this little spooky roller coaster, or the Rush of Blood,
mm-hmm.
I was halfway expecting to, like, get into the hotel hell or whatever it was, and, like, all the windows would be boarded up, and it would be very linear and very boxed in and almost like playing Time Crisis. You remember the arcade game?
Yeah.
It was so linear. You saw what the camera showed you.
Right.
There was no looking around. There was no freedom. There was no range of movement. That's what I half expected out of it.
It's not that.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't get spooked.
It's all right.
I wanted to for you. I wanted to get scared.
More so for Amy, my wife. Her favorite thing is to set people up on that thing and watch them get scared. I don't know what kind of pleasure she gets out of that.
She didn't even say hi to me when I got here.
She's like, get on the VR now. Like,
have you tried VR? You gotta play this. Oh, you're gonna be so scared. It's not so scary.
She is the voice of VR. The only reason we have that thing is because of her. I bought it for her because she really, really wanted it after we tried my brother's.
Have you seen a return in your investment from the amount of time she spent on it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She loves it. The kids and her use it a lot. It gets daily use still after we bought it.
That's awesome.
I use it probably once a week or something. It's cool. I really enjoy it, but I don't know. It's, I guess the newness is already starting to wear off on me a little bit. But I still really enjoy it. Like, you throw me a new game, and I'm still playing Resident Evil too. Resident Evil is really cool in that, and I'm going to finish that. I'd rather finish that game in VR than not in VR.
Does the PlayStation VR have any art-based applications?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Or is it just the Oculus that does?
Oculus and Vive.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure that's something to come because they do have the Move controllers.
Right.
So you can still, like, reach up and touch things.
I think that shooter would have been a lot better with some of those.
Yeah, actually, she should have set you up with that because I do have those.
Oh.
She set him up with a controller.
I mean, it was cool as it was. I think that would have just added to it, though.
Yeah. A little more freedom where you can aim. No, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So VR was cool. I mean, I 10 out of 10 would mess with it again.
I like your review. Yeah. It's worth the cost. For a PlayStation VR, for what I paid for, it was worth
sure,
the cost.
Oh, sure, sure.
It has gotten a lot of use, and it will continue to get a lot of use in my house. So, yeah. So, I hear that you got something recently.
I did it. I got a Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the first new system I've had within less than a year of launch, I think, ever.
Oh, really? When did you get your PS4?
I got my PS4 December of last year.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, or did I get it December of the year before?
You haven't had it for very long, because you had the PS3 for a while. I remember that now.
I did have the PS3 for a long time. I don't remember. I've had the PS4 for a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
Not only did you get it within a year of release, you got it within, like, 6 months of release.
Yeah, a few months. And so I'm like...
So all my talking
it up
probably worked.
Man, everybody talking it up. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the PlayStation, when I got it, it's still completely relevant. If I got a PS4 tomorrow, it's still relevant.
Yeah.
But I think the last system I got, like, that still had, like, the launch excitement around it was an N64.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, coincidentally, is also the last system I played a Legend of Zelda game on. Majora's Mask was the last Zelda game I played.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I tinkered for a few minutes with Twilight Princess when my brother played it when it came out.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the...
The motion controls suck.
I never really liked Wii all that much.
Yeah.
I'll just come out and say it. I was never a fan of Wii as a system.
I'm not either. It's playing games like Zelda with motion controls is not fun.
And it's tiring. It's tiring.
It is.
Which makes me sound like a lazy shit, but I don't want to move when I'm playing. You do it. I'll just watch.
But you're completely right. I mean, that's the same perspective that everybody has.
Yeah.
It's not unique. It's like when you play a game, you don't want to be active. You want to sit there and enjoy the
I just worked in a restaurant for 11 hours. You think I want to swing my shit around? No. I want to sit as still as possible and only move my fucking thumbs and my eyeballs. Yes. That is all I want.
You're so right, man.
Every now and again, I might smile. And even then, when I smile, I'm like, oh, that's too fucking much. I gotta pump the brakes. I'm practically a Pilates right now. So, yeah, all that to say, the Switch is fucking awesome. It's so cool. It's so cool. I got the black and gray one that I told you I thought was so sexy. Actually, it's funny. You remember when I was telling you that I was talking on that app with that guy that had the black and gray one?
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to trade that electric guitar and that revolver and $100.
Is this the same dude?
The same dude.
Oh, really? What happened?
He still hadn't sold it. He brought the price down $5 and then brought it down to negotiable. And I messaged him and I was like, bruh, I still got a guitar and a revolver if you want to try to trade anything. And he was like, do you have a proof of sale for the gun? And I was like, nah, but I've got the gun. I got no use for a gun in my house. It sits on the top shelf of my laundry room.
Yeah.
You know? So he was like, nah, there's a no-go on me. What's the guitar? And so I told him about the guitar, and he's like, my son likes guitars. And I was like, cool, do you want this? Because I could tell you things my son likes, you know?
All day long.
And he likes hugging dogs and letting me know whenever he's pooping, you know?
And calling himself Big big fat one.
Fat big one.
Fat big one. I could never get that right.
No, because it's big fat. That's the phrase he messed up, was big fat and turned into fat big.
Yeah.
So I messaged this guy, and he was like, well, you know, what's this guitar worth? And I told him. And he was like, I don't know, how about the guitar and $100? And I was like, well, how about I give you the guitar and, like, I had this vintage 4x12 half stack speaker cab and a tube head unit that went with it.
Yeah.
I was like, so I'll give you this whole rig, you know, for your son. You can just have the whole thing, and I'll trade you for this switch. And he was like, well, let me come look at it. And I was like, what part of the city are you in? He was like, west. And I was like, I'm in Yukon. He was like, right on, me too.
Oh, wow.
No shit. He was in Yukon, right by me.
Yeah.
So he brought over his dad, because I guess his dad's been playing guitar forever.
Yeah.
And they looked over the gear, and then they made me play it for them. I was like, wait, let
you
me
got
go.
Me snorting today,
let
man.
Let me go get my tight pants and eyeliner. We'll just have a real throwback here. So then I was like, so do we have a deal? And the guy was like, I only bought this thing to resell it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He turns out whenever Switch came out and then was, like, extinct immediately,
uh-huh,
where nobody could find him, he found one in Hawaii and either went down there and bought it.
Or was already there and bought
or
it.
Or was there and bought it.
Yeah.
Because no one was going to ship one out.
Did
at
he
point.
Buy that strictly as a resale tool to be a scalper, basically?
Right.
Like I do with,
because
did
initially
with Amiibo.
He admitted to me whenever he bought the thing, whenever nobody could find one, he initially put it up for sale, the Switch with 1-2 Switch and Breath of the Wild,
yeah,
for like $800-something.
Damn.
And he was like, I couldn't believe no one would buy it. And I was
like, of course not.
It's like, what did you think they were fucking done making the Switch? did you think they were like, well, that was fun. Wow. They're all out. They're not like golden tickets. They got to make a fucking return on it.
Wow.
And so he was like, so imagine my surprise whenever I got online and suddenly everyone was like, ooh, we've restocked the Switch.
Of course they did.
It's like, I can step out my door right now and find 5 within stores 2 miles from me.
Yeah.
All right. People have them now.
Yeah.
He was like, well, so it wasn't worth my time or my money, so.
That's crazy, man.
And I was like, that's awesome. Well, you kind of deserved this. For being such a turd.
Would he be able to get his money back on the sale of your guitar?
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. But he got the guitar for his son, because he was going to sell the Switch to get a nice new guitar and set up
really?
For his kid. Yeah, because his son's been playing for
so
like,
you already had. It's surprising to me that he didn't trade you a long time ago then, if that was his intention all along.
He was still in that mindset that he was going to win. Okay. He was going to get that extra money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guitar, I was selling the guitar for $475 and the cab for $100 and the head unit for $120.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he really got a good deal out of it.
But you got what you wanted.
But I got what I wanted out of it.
I mean, honestly, was the do you use the guitar? Was it worth anything to you?
I got the guitar brand new and had played it twice.
Yeah.
Because it was so nice. And I'm terribly rough on guitars.
Yeah.
I'm far too punk rock. We're such a nice instrument. So
insert picture of punk rock Ryan.
I'm sure I got something with me wearing too much eyeliner.
I've seen them.
So yeah, I made the Switch.
Yeah.
Got the Switch, and I've been playing Breath of the Wild like a crazy person.
Is it as good as I've led you to believe?
It's so great.
Yeah.
It feels like a really, really great open exploration game.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about it that still doesn't bring back that magic of the N64 Legend of Zelda's for me yet.
Okay.
Still not quite there.
But you
were. I think it's the music. I think it's the music, honestly.
I love the music in Breath of the Wild.
No, it's beautiful. But I think that kind of quirky, kitschy music of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask
that constantly plays.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of what stuck in that generation, was that there was just that constant soundtrack, that mm-hmm. constant. It gave you that constant feel. You know, it created that entire experience
with retro games in general. Yeah, I feel like that's something that's been lost. We do get really cool orchestrated music nowadays,
right?
Which is great.
And Breath of the Wild has beautiful music.
It does. It's some of my favorite.
It's very environmental.
Yeah.
Very, like, it's just there.
Kinda. But we miss out on the cool, catchy chiptunes. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
You know, I think that was Kakariko Village from Ocarina of Time.
The music in Breath of the Wild, though, is also, it doesn't play all the time.
No.
There's a lot of
which
periods.
Gives you that feeling of, like, desolation. Uh-huh. And
it accomplishes that well, because the sound effects in that game are really incredible.
Right. And it's a beautiful, but also, I'm still just on the Great Plateau.
Okay, yeah.
I've probably put,
a lot of people stay there for a long time.
I've probably put 12 hours into this game, and I'm still on
the
Great, like, I can't. It's like trying to do a podcast in your room right now.
Distractions.
Like, I know exactly what I need to do, but there is so much shit to look at and so much shit to do.
Yeah.
So.
That's what makes that game so great.
Yeah.
To me.
One of my first challenges was going through and finding what my limitations were on things I could jump off of without dying.
Oh, what'd you find out?
You can't jump off of the Great Plateau, like the when you first come out of the Resurrection Cave.
Yeah,
you can't jump off of that
without dying.
Yeah, you can't jump off that. You know, I found out after jumping off the wall that you can't jump off the wall. You have to have the glider to get to the rest of the map.
Yeah.
You
haven't got that yet?
The glider? No. I still have to get one more spirit orb that's up in the mountains, and I don't have the warm sweater. Or doublet, the warm doublet.
Mm-hmm.
What if he fucking gave you, like, a cable knit sweater? So yeah, it's been great. Haven't tried 1-2 Switch. Want to get my hands on Mario Kart. I was thinking about picking up The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, I've never played that one. I've heard good news about
it.
It just doesn't look interesting to me. Splatoon looks cool, but
Splatoon looks cool. You know, yeah. I like a good shooter.
I love the art style in that game, and I love the colors.
And you know, I heard the news that they may be porting Skyrim.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
To Switch. And you know my love affair with Skyrim eternally. And so I'm very excited about that. If they decide to port any Fallout games over there...
Yeah, you'll be on and board.
I don't think I'd be able to play anymore. It'd be too much. There'd be too much power in my hands. It'd make me dangerous.
I don't think I'm interested enough to go back to Skyrim. I think I'm kind of like over.
I never finished it.
Oh, okay, so you can go back and
so I could go back and actually have like a I put in like well over 200 hours.
I will admit though, the idea of being able to lay in bed at night
and just Skyrim the fuck out.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
That's enticing.
It's so enticing.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, cool. And Mario's coming out, so you have that to look forward to as well.
I do.
But if you do get Mario Kart, we need to battle online.
Yeah.
They still got the messed up friend code situation. You gotta exchange codes to join somebody's friend.
Their whole online situation is confusing right now.
Did you see that you have to use an app on your phone to
yes.
do voice chat?
Yeah.
Isn't that the most...
I downloaded the app.
Yeah. I haven't bad down. I'm not even gonna mess with that.
Because I had read that there's, like, a function on the app that you can actually, like, whenever you're playing on the TV, since the controller itself doesn't have a headphone jack,
yeah,
that you can get in the app and there's a way to connect the sound from the TV to the app and then listen to the sound through your phone. But all that is a bit extraneous. Like,
it's stupid.
Honestly, all the extra steps to accomplish all that shit, just, it keeps my Joy-Cons on the tablet and
yeah.
keeps it a handheld device. I've put it on the TV once and it was cool. I played it for a while.
For me, any multiplayer that gets played on that game will strictly be non-voice chat multiplayer. I'm not going to go through all that.
No.
Voice chat.
Just play the damn thing.
Yeah. Cool. Well.
That was a lot of talk about the Switch.
It was. So I guess we're going to move on to the next segment here because we're running kind of...
We're running
up
hot
to
here.
40 minutes already, and actually...
Let's take a little break. Just a bit.
And we're back. With Just a Bit Gaming Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Adrian Bertazoid Townsend.
Whoop.
With my co-host, Ryan Chumpy Dog Reynolds.
Chumpy Dog? What the fuck?
Chumpy Crash Reynolds? I gotta throw in the spit when I do that, man.
like my 6 month old. That's all she says.
So I've already had a beer, and obviously it's taking some effect on me. So
you want to talk about beers?
Yes, I do.
Hey, we're drinking some tonight on Just a Bit Gaming Podcast. We are enjoying Founders Brewing Mosaic Promise Single Hop Ale.
It's a good beer.
Yeah, it's nice, balanced, just hoppy enough to keep it from being sweet, just malty enough.
Is that
to
what
keep...
it means to be a single hop? Is it's not so bitter? It's just...
What they did here was they took mosaic hops.
What's a mosaic hop?
It's a variety of hop. Like, different hops have different...
Like, is it like a different type of plant? Or what? I don't understand.
Like, okay, so hops are what gives it that... the hoppy flavor, the bitterness. And there are different types of hops that have differing levels of bitterness.
Right.
And have different smells and different flavors to them. Overall, they all kind of have that overlying bitterness that you get out of an IPA or a strong ale or whatever. But depending on what hops they use and where in the brewing process they put it in, you're going to get a different product and a different flavor, a different experience.
Okay.
And so these mosaic hops, from my understanding, are a little bit on the sweeter, milder side as far as hops go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what kind of barley or wheat they used in this. Golden Promise Malt. Okay, so basically they used just those two ingredients to create the flavor of the beer, bring it back to a simplicity. You know, a lot of beers have big, complex, explosive flavors, and this one really delivers on that promise, the mosaic promise, of just being a simple, straightforward, balanced drink.
It's
tasty.
It's
you could just as easily drink this like on a hot afternoon sitting on your couch or your patio.
I agree.
As you could with like a good meal, you know. It's a very, very versatile flavor. Shout out to Founders.
Founders makes a damn good beer. They never let me down.
I don't think I've ever had a beer there. Their lineup is always so strong.
Yeah.
I've never had a beer there that I was disappointed in.
Yeah, me too. Where are they out of?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it on here.
Grand Rapids, is that Michigan. It
says? Michigan. Yeah, it's...
I thought they were in Minnesota.
They make a good beer. Any one of that I've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
but
a
this...
big gaming podcast. Not sponsored by Founders yet. I'll ask them. I'll just send them a message. Be like, hey.
Please do.
Sponsor us. And they'll be like, yeah, okay.
They don't even have to send us money. Just send us beer.
No, just send us some beer.
We'll review every beer that you send us. I promise.
We'll just review your entire lineup. You just got to send it to us. Somebody from Founders is obviously watching because we're famous already.
Yeah. I will say that Founders is one of my favorites. They make an IPA, the double wide IPA.
Oh, it's so good.
I love that stuff, man.
And they do the all-day IPA.
The all-day IPA is really good.
That's a solid-ass beer, dude. I mean, everything Founders is good.
Yeah.
All the bars that and restaurants that I've worked at over the years, bartending and managing and
double wide is Founders, right? The double wide IPA?
I thought so. You should Google that.
I better... get my facts straight. I don't like saying things that I think I know, but I don't know. But yeah, I think
every bar or restaurant that I've taken over as far as the bar program goes.
Oh, I got it wrong.
Double Wide is by Boulevard,
which is also a good brewery.
Well, Double Wide is a solid beer, though.
Yeah,
it is. But we're focusing on Founder right now. I always end up, if I have a say in the menu, putting Founder in the beer stock if I'm managing a bar.
I think they're one of the more popular like specialty beer companies.
Yeah, like for as far as craft brewers
craft beer,
go,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
They have made their way into a relatively mainstream audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because they're so damn accessible.
Yeah.
They just make good shit consistently.
And it's not expensive.
No, they're at a fantastic price point.
Yeah.
The first beer I picked up tonight Just because I liked the box and I had never heard of it, and I know you're super into IPAs, and I was like, oh, this one's fancy and obscure. And I got up to the register, and it was a 4-pack, and they were like, well, that's going to be $16. And I was like,
oh,
you know what? That's not out of a normal price range for a craft beer that I've never fucking heard of. But I was like, nah, no.
I would have said no, too.
And, then I turned and I saw the setup with Founders and was like, wow. Yeah. Where you been all my 5 minutes? You could have saved me all this.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Founders. I hope you watch this, or at least read the tweet that I'm going to send at you.
Yeah.
In a little bit. I winked, but I'm wearing glasses, so you might not have seen it. Unless you're just listening, in which case I promise you didn't see it.
You're so descriptive. yes. You never let us down. It's a good beer. I was going to say, I went to the garage last week, and I got a beer while I was there. It was one of the best IPAs I've ever had, and it was very, very potent, like, high percentage of alcohol. I don't remember the name of it. That's just it. It's like, I'm bad about that. I'll get there, and I'll ask what the name of it is, and I'll try to remember, and then I forget. I think it's...
You know what generally helps me in moments like that?
What?
Just fucking write it down.
But then I would lose my note.
You dingus.
I like to take pictures. Take picture on my phone. Problem was, they brought me a glass. And so I couldn't take a picture of it.
That's fair.
I drank a glass. It was about... It was like a wine glass size.
Yeah.
I drank that bottle, or that glass of beer. Dude, I was done. She come back and said, would you like another? Hell no, I'm already drunk. This little glass of beer is
sounds like drinking a DNR.
Yeah, dude, it was very similar to that. I want to say the alcohol...
Was it by Prairie?
No, I don't think so.
Not a Prairie Bomb?
No, I'll come back on the next podcast and let you know which one it is. In fact, if I can find it at the store, I will buy some, and we will taste that on our next episode.
Okay,
sounds
good.
So,
we'll eat beforehand.
Yes, and after. I got fish tacos.
Man, and, I fucking love fish tacos.
Oh, I do too, man.
The
garage has some damn good fish
tacos. Yeah, that's all I've ever eaten at the garage. No, I had a burger once.
The burgers are fantastic.
I usually try the fish taco.
Yeah.
Like, if I go somewhere that serves fish tacos, and you already know about my thing about meatball subs.
Yeah.
If I go somewhere that serves a fish taco or a meatball sub,
that's what
I try
getting.
That.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. Also a Cuban. If someone's serving a Cuban.
Love. I got the best place for a Cuban for you, man.
Is it my kitchen? Because I will throw that shit down.
Really?
Dude.
You're going to have to make me one.
That's like my best recipe is a Cuban sandwich.
You have to make me a Cuban sandwich. I love Cuban sandwiches.
My secret is that I've been experimenting with combining Cuban and traditional Irish.
What's the Irish part?
I made a Cuban last week with corned beef on it.
That would be good.
It was.
That's what I was going to think.
Fucking
That's what I was
jam,
thinking.
Dude. It was bananas. Yeah. I mean, it was not.
The pork is a staple, though.
Yeah.
And the pickles. And the mustard. And
you
the
mean
press.
The sandwich itself is the staple. You just want to... All you're doing right
I'm
now
fantasizing
is...
fantasizing about
all you're doing. You're lusting after sandwiches right now.
Dude, I do. I love me a sandwich.
You gotta,
ask my wife. She knows.
You popping a little hoagie over there?
Maybe. Dude, I am a sandwich connoisseur. I like to think of myself as well.
Well, all right. Next time you come over, we'll make some Cubans.
Thank you.
Some Ryan-style Cubans.
Thank you. Next podcast. You better have me a damn Cuban, or this podcast is done.
Yeah, dude. We'll call it, since it's like an Irish-Cuban fusion, we'll call it the turf.
Are you going to do one of those, the corned beef?
We'll call it the turf war. That's so offensive, isn't it?
I wasn't gonna say it.
No, I'll make a classic one.
Either way is fine with me.
Either
I love corned beef too.
All right, cool.
Whatever you think. You've tried both of them, so you know. So you give me which one
I'll,
you.
I'll
think.
Ask my wife which one she likes better because she's really the.
Is she a sandwich connoisseur?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll trust.
Especially
her
Cubans. She's the one that got me into the Cuban culture.
Really?
The Cuban sandwich culture.
Okay, well, okay. You make me a good Cuban, I will go buy you a good Cuban. I found a place
we'll
that
side
serves...
by side them.
We could do that, or...
Nah.
No. I don't want to do that, because I will bring it over for the next time. How about
All right,
that?
Cool. Sounds good.
There's a restaurant that is down the street from my work, and their Cubans are the best I've ever had.
Yeah?
And that's saying a lot. So yeah, I'll bring you one of those next time.
You ever had a Cuban cigar?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it have the mustard and the meat and pickles? And
none of that. I wish it did.
All that inside of it?
Wouldn't that be good, kind of?
I would smoke a sandwich-flavored cigar. I would.
Totally.
I'd give it a shot. Why not? Why couldn't we just, like, roll up some beef jerky or some shit?
Yeah. You know that beef jerky that they put in, like, a skull can? Yeah.
We'll just roll some of that up in, like, dried out, like, fucking ham. Salami or some shit.
Just like, rice paper?
Yeah. Give seaweed. A whole new meaning to smoked meat. Nah.
I'll pass on that.
So, back to the beer.
Yes.
It's real good.
Game. What game reminds you that... I'll start because I had to look it up. I couldn't remember the name of this game, but I'm strictly going off the cover art here, and it reminds me of an RPG on the Xbox called Child of Light. It's also on the PS4. It's on everything. And the main character, the one that you play as, has this long flowing red hair that's always constantly moving no matter what you're doing. It's a really pretty game.
I'm just imagining Bayonetta.
Bayonetta?
Not because of this cover art, but because of what you just described. I got Bayonetta.
Well, imagine, like, see this woman's hair here on this?
Yeah.
Imagine that just constantly just flowing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how that game is. Yeah, so I'm going to go with that just because she looks like the main character.
Yeah. Well, the reason I picked it up, because you know I'm in Legend of Zelda mode right now.
Yeah.
Is the label art reminded me of the Great Fairies and the Fairy Fountains from Ocarina of Time.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I saw that and was like, oh, yeah. You know what?
Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see your pointy breasts.
Thank you.
Right now. How polygonal of you. That was pretty good. It really was. I remember the first time I ever played through that game when I was a kid, and you know that like life rule that you can be watching TV or playing a game or whatever, and nothing sexy's gonna happen until your mom walks in the room.
You're so right.
I walked into one of those, crawled into the first fairy fountain at Hyrule Castle, and as she comes out,
yeah,
you need to edit over that with your version of it because it was much better with her barely vine covered like
pointy breasts
and she was all asses and elbows is what I remember my mom saying. That that woman's just asses and elbows. Even at the tender young age of whatever I was, I don't think she used that phrase correctly.
Yeah,
but I remember her asking. She was so wound up. Why do you play? Why are you? And I was like, oh, it's Legend of Zelda. You and Dad played this all the time on the old Nintendo.
That's how you try to win them over.
Yeah.
I use the same strategy.
You did this. it's just crack. Yeah. I'm kidding. My mom never did crack. She would die if she heard me say that. She'd be like, yes, I did. No, she didn't. She didn't. Public service announcement. My mom has never done drugs.
And I believe that. I've met your mother. Yeah, she's
pretty
very,
buttoned up.
Very nice lady.
Yeah, she's pretty buttoned up. So she was pretty upset about the pointy boobs and the animated writhing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't upset about it. It looked so realistic to me. I was like, if you didn't have the face of Willem Dafoe.
So
right?
True.
Right.
That's an ugly ass fairy.
I know. I know. It's just like, damn, but damn. So, yeah, that's one of my outstanding memories of the first time of playing through that series was my mom being so upset. But then after I told her, like, oh, it's just Legend of Zelda, and my dad was like, yeah, chill.
It's okay. It's cool. Okay.
She's like, well, I'm going to watch and make sure nothing else happens. And then I ran around hitting, like, fucking flowers with a sword.
Yeah.
You know?
Because there is nothing else in the game that could possibly be...
No, it's just them.
Yeah.
Just them. Period.
So moving on, I think I hear somebody coming in the house, so we're going to move on to our next segment here. What is it called?
This is another segment of... Or another issue? Another episode.
Another episode of...
Of... What Ryan Doesn't Know. This is a fun little game we like to play for those of you who haven't watched the other episodes, which just do.
Just do it.
Don't be a dick.
Episode 2, voice quality, or the sound quality is kind of
crappy. It's a little off. It sounds as though we're recording in a tile bathroom.
Yeah, we fixed it, though.
Obviously. So this is a little game where Adrian provides me with the cover art and name of a video game that I am completely unfamiliar with. And I have 3 minutes to try to explain the storyline and combat from first to last.
Yeah.
And then Adrian grades me on whether I am unplayable or do I get a sequel.
That's right. So, while we were here, I just quickly went through my game shelf and picked something that, a game that's kind of near and dear to my heart. This is a game that I had as a kid that my dad picked out for us. He rented it, and then we ended up buying it at some point in time. But I always remember this game because it's not the greatest game, but it had awesome music, and my dad made up words to the main theme song of the first level or something. And that will always stick with me. That's another one of those dad game moments, you know, because I don't have very many of those, you know. So it was cool. So the theme music is like, I'm Macho Man, something, something. He had lyrics. He had lyrics.
Oh, okay, I was like.
But my mom was
upset about a great fairy.
So we would listen. We would play this game while singing the lyrics to that my dad made up to go with this chiptune song. It was fun. So, tell me about this game.
This game is called Amagon.
Yes.
As in Amazon, but with a G.
Right.
Amagon. The art here. There is a squirrely little young dude. Dressed in tattered safari clothes. I don't know if he has messy red hair or a beret on.
Looks like it's red hair.
Okay, so he's got messy red hair and he's shooting a submachine gun. There's some bugs and some bats and a UFO and a T-Rex and some mushrooms and a crab and a skull and somewhere between a stormtrooper and a Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
Agent.
Yeah, good script.
A nice little blue guy. And then, behind the little guy shooting the submachine gun, there is a very beefy fella. This motherfucker is svelte.
he definitely is.
he's a big guy with ham hands. I imagine he might have had something to do with the early design phases in concept of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And then there's some cat eyes in the sky peeking at them from the purple, the great purple beyond. So, I've wasted like half of my time here describing the cover. But here's my thing. This little dude, the little guy dressed in the safari clothes with the gun, is a young man who was traveling with military parents. And they were on a safari mission to the Amazon, where his parents were abducted by aliens who set off a virus in the forest, in the Amazon rainforest, that rewound time and brought back dinosaurs. So the aliens are the puppet masters here. And this little dude is on his own and grabs this gun, and he stumbles into a pit where he gets trapped and he hears this voice calling to him saying, you know, you gotta get up, you gotta do this, you know, come to me, come to me. But he can't tell if it's a good voice or a bad voice because, like, get up, you gotta fight is really encouraging. But then things like, come to me, is just like, well, fuck no, kind of, you know? So he gets up and he gets his gun and he realizes that this pit he fell into was where the aliens were keeping their, like, aquifer of this plague that they, this, like, goop. That they sprayed over the Amazon.
Las Plagas.
Yeah, Las Plagas, which is Spanish for literally nothing. But you're getting better. You tried. So, he starts to feel funny, and that's when, from his little body, bursts the giant, shirtless, muscular version of him.
Yeah.
Called Amagon.
Yeah.
Because he's an Amazon guy. Amagon. So he goes through, tromping through, fighting all the aliens, and he finds the source of the big eyes in the sky, and it's an alien jungle cat, and it was the first... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit! So it's the first specimen that got infected, and it's really the one pulling the strings, and then he finds out that the dinosaurs and everything are just figments of his imagination while he was, like, basically tripping shit through the woods, or through the forest, and then... He finds this stormtrooper, agent of steel, or whatever, Brotherhood of Steel guy, and realizes that that is actually his father, who had been...
Am I you're wrapping up some Star Wars up in there, man.
A little bit. And the dinosaurs... I don't really know where to go with the dinosaurs.
You're getting deeper than you need to. This is an NES game.
Oh, okay. He shoots the dinosaurs and they go away.
There you go. Describe the gameplay to me.
Roguelike shooter. Like a top-down Contra. Like Legend of Zelda with guns.
Okay. All right. You're pretty good. I mean, you...
Yeah?
I'd say that the artist of this cover art did a fair enough job that you were able to give me some descriptive, you know. Okay, this is an NES game. The story is extremely light. You know, there's, in fact, I couldn't tell you what the story is. All I could tell you is this little guy gets plane wrecked on this island, and it's overrun by creatures like the mushrooms. One of the enemies is a jumping mushroom that you have to kill. And there's, you know, dinosaurs and birds and, you know, mosquitoes and stuff like that that you have to kill. He goes around killing things. It's a side-scrolling shooter. So it's Contra, yes, in a side-scrolling sense.
Oh, it's side-scrolling.
Yeah.
I assumed it was top-down.
Yeah, so, but you collect this icon that turns you into big muscle...
Amagon,
yeah. And so whenever you are the big muscle guy... You have a very... You don't have a gun anymore. You just punch shit. Because he's just... And he goes like this. he's just flexing when he punches.
A little bit of Double Dragon mixed in there.
Yeah. So he's not... It's so weird because he doesn't punch out. He punches up.
He's just
uppercutting everything.
Do you realize how fucking hardcore it is? That your entire combat style is uppercut.
Yeah.
Like, when someone says, how were you trained? You're like, fucking uppercut.
Yeah. So he's a...
He's Amagon.
He's Amagon. He's a badass. He kills everything with one hit. Problem is, he grows like twice the size of your normal character. So it's easier to take damage from things because it's harder to dodge. Yeah, you can still kill everything, but there's things coming at you constantly. He doesn't jump very well. He jumps high. He just doesn't jump far. And...
Yeah, okay.
His range... Like, the gun has range. This uppercut motion has no range whatsoever. So, yeah, and then you get to the end of the level and you fight a boss, which is usually some sort of cat creature or something like
Alien
that.
Jungle cat.
Alien jungle cat. So, Ryan. You get a sequel.
Yeah! Is that my first sequel?
No. Okay. No, you've had at least one.
I've had at least one other sequel, but still, I'm stoked every time.
It's a good enough story that's close enough to the source material that I'm going to go with it.
Cool. Also, real quick, have you seen that Instagram filter where everyone turns themselves into a little deer?
No.
Oh, never mind. The Amagon kind of looks like that.
Does he?
Yeah.
I think another reason why I'm kind of drawn to that game is because the red hair. I'm drawn to characters with red hair because I had red hair as a kid and I used to get a lot of crap for it. And
so any hero that was like...
Lion-O is my man. He was my jam when I was a kid. Still is today.
Yeah. Am I allowed to call you like a ginger, or only gingers allowed to call each other gingers?
I don't like that term.
Okay. We've never talked about that.
Ginger is... When I think ginger, I think South Park.
And oh, yeah.
It's a South Park thing, and I don't...
You guys haven't seen him dance. He's got soul.
I don't know. I've never really liked that term. Just call me redhead, firehead. I don't know.
I think I'm out of things.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And we have... Dude, we're like just barely over an hour, so I think we're good.
Yeah, we went 5 minutes over our goal for tonight. We had a lot of people asking us for a shorter episode to try out, And so instead of being like, no, asshole, watch the episodes how we make them because it's art, we're like, okay, we'll cater to you.
Well, and yeah, and doing the longer episodes are... I like doing the longer episodes. Tiring. If we have something to talk about... Last week was... Or last not... The last episode was tiring.
Yeah.
When we got done with that, I was done.
Worn out.
But if we have something interesting enough to talk about, we can carry it on longer. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I think we talked too much in between episodes this time. We just didn't not talk for 2 weeks.
Oh, on text? And Yeah, you're right. Keep that information
Stop talking
private.
In between.
Yeah, don't text me anymore. What the hell are you doing, man?
I am the one that starts it. You are a terrible lover.
Dude, I'm not a...
It's
I'm
all
not
one-sided.
I'm not a... I don't reach out very often to anybody unless I have to.
I'll send him like a text like talking about something. He'll be like, yeah. Fucking cool, Adrian.
One word answer. That's me, man.
He's one of those that doesn't use punctuation, so you always feel like he's a little put off. And then you're like, what did I do? You okay?
I'll put a little more thought into my responses if that makes you feel better.
No, I had to ask for it.
It's meaningless now.
It doesn't mean anything. All right, so you feel good? You done?
I'm good.
You got anything else you want to talk about?
I don't. I'm going to start streaming with my Elgato soon.
Okay.
When I can get all the setup good and, you know, I'm comfortable with it. So yeah, look for me soon. I'll post on Twitter and stuff when I go live.
Awesome.
Also,
I respond as though you're telling me to watch.
I am.
Wow.
I'm telling you and everybody else to watch us. Leave us some reviews, guys, please. If you are listening and you enjoy the show, we'd appreciate some feedback, and we would appreciate any kind of listener response that we can use in the show.
Yeah. Also, real quick on listener response, shout out to Alex. He's this gentleman that comes in to my work, and I'm pretty sure he was on his phone, and I'm pretty sure I heard him listening to our last episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, shout out to Alex.
Alex.
For helping us keep the dream alive.
Thank you, sir. Anyway, if you want to reach out to us, we're at, on Twitter and Instagram, we're at JabGCast. That's at JabGCast.
Yep, and we're at Gmail at JabGCast@gmail.com. And we are on YouTube as Just a Bit Gaming Podcast. You got to search the whole thing or it tells you we don't exist.
Yeah.
Obviously not sponsored by YouTube.
We're gonna continue to upload the video version.
Yeah, yeah.
Last time the video cut out, and I have a feeling it's gonna do that to us again this time.
Probably.
I forgot to get my camera.
You know, I've got a camera that we should be using that I don't bring on the grounds that I don't remember to.
Well, usually it's at your house. This is the first time we've done it in my house. But yeah,
we're on. Did you already hit Twitch?
I did not.
We are on Twitch as Jab_cast, JAB_CAST.
Yeah,
you can find me on the PlayStation Network. I don't know what's wrong with my account, but I am either That's Just Aces, all one word, or Chumpy Crash, all one word.
Yeah,
I looked up the other day, and my account still said That's Just Aces, but my handle was Chumpy Crash.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on there.
You want to find me anywhere, search Adbertazoid.
Yep.
That is my name on everything I have, so...
I'm on the Switch now as Chumpy.
No Chumpy Crash?
I didn't have room in the field. It wouldn't let me have enough letters. But I made a pretty fancy-ass me of myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I made one. I think I just went with whatever was generic and worked.
So I think that's about all for us tonight.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
See you then.
Ooh, it's a party after party, just a bit. Gaming after party, it's a party. Let's have a party with Jab, Jab, Jab.
Just a bit. After show.
Just a bit after show.
Just a bit
after show. Hey, I showed you that video of my son singing that song, right?
Yes, I am going to edit that in somewhere in this video.
It's funny whenever you say stuff like that during the video, because by the time other people hear it, it's already on there.
True.
So you're, it's totally like, what would it be, meta? It's totally meta of you saying it. Like,
maybe I shouldn't say
we're,
that.
We're creating an inception loop.
Yes.
Within our broadcast by talking about the things we're going to queue up and edit in.
I think I'm more talking to you than
them. Yeah, well, yeah. But by the time people see it, and then you say that, they're like, but it's already there. Why would you do it again? And we're like, for fucking illusions. So, news. Sean Spicer, Trump's right-hand dude, he resigned today.
Okay. I don't know who Sean
Spicer
is.
You don't talk about politics.
I don't.
Did you hear about all the alternative facts and... Okay, you remember when I was talking about Covfefe?
Mm-hmm.
I think, as long as I'm... I may be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure he's the guy that was like, that wasn't a typo on the president's Twitter that... There's only a few of us that know what that means. And the world was like, all right, walking meme. I'm pretty sure he's the one that said that. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
You know, we've been wrong before. And being wrong is okay.
How did we open tonight's episode? Where we have information that is half correct all the time? Or
I said that a double white IPA was made by founders.
Right.
I retracted that statement. Covfefe.
Covfefe me. So I don't know if anyone's actually figured out what Covfefe means, because it was probably just a text.
Yeah.
A mistext.
Yeah.
But Sean Spicer, actually let's Google that real quick. See if he's the one that took up arms. Google Sean Spicer Covfefe. He resigned today.
Yeah.
Right there. He's the he was the press secretary, so he would be the one he's the talking head. He's the Muppet of the presidency.
So as in retire means
he has stepped away from office.
Because Trump said either you go or I'll make you go.
Is that what it says somewhere?
No, I'm just guessing since he resigned.
I think they were kind of like they were putting up a show as like being buds, or least like allied with one another. But I haven't read as to why exactly he resigned. I don't know yet, so I won't guess. But he has done that. So now, as it stands, that means that President Trump is without a press secretary, which means he is now like alone when he's tweeting and stuff.
I thought he always was.
Well, no, he had his press secretary like, bruh.
No way.
What did you say? What did you just say? And Trump's like,
Dude, he posts a lot of dumbass shit.
He posts a lot of stuff, and it's Sean Spicer's job as the press secretary to be like...
He's not doing a good job.
He's supposed to be the rolled-up newspaper to the naughty dog nose that is Trump's Twitter.
So he's resigning because obviously he can't keep Trump under control.
He's like, fuck social media, I'm out. Tweet about this.
Yeah.
And Trump's like, okay. Well, guess I'm alone now. And then he posted a link to a video of Tiffany.
Yeah.
And he's like, you see the feet anyone around? And this is at the same time that OJ gets released or paroled or whatever.
Let's see if he can keep himself under control.
I'm interested to see what this does to stock prices in the glove market.
And what about the white Bronco market?
Everyone's gonna be like, well, not now.
He needs to go buy himself an old white Ford Bronco and drive it around at really slow speeds everywhere he goes.
Just wave. And you know what? It'll be his own, like, getting out parade.
Yeah.
But everyone will be like, too soon.
Honking the horn. Get out of my way. Who is this? Who's this asshole?
And Sean Spicer will be like, you don't have a Twitter, dude. Because I'm currently unemployed. I'm done.
We're out.